are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Gareth Aird, our head of Australian economics. And Gareth, good to have a chat today.
It's nice to have a chat again, Belinda.
It is. Now, today we're going to really drill down into the Australian economic outlook and in particular the note that you published on the 25th of June on green shoots amidst the uncertainty. And certainly we're 3 months since the heavy lockdown measures were introduced in the Australian economy and when the coronavirus case numbers were really starting to lift. I guess 3 months on and it's a really good time to kind of reset and think about the Australian economic outlook. Now you're really focused at the moment on looking at some of the green shoots that have started to emerge. Now when we think about these green shoots, a lot of that comes down to the latest news on the coronavirus. And what's the latest thinking there?
Well, look, we called it a green shoot last week, although it probably looks a little bit less green now, and that's to do with the news on COVID-19 itself. Obviously, a few concerns have popped up over the past 5 or 6 days in terms of the number of cases on the rise in Victoria. But notwithstanding, if we step back and take a look at the bigger picture, the news on COVID-19 has been fundamentally good in Australia. I think two to three months ago, not too many people thought that we'd be in the position that we are today with very, very, very low community transmission. That has enabled the economy to be reopened faster than anticipated. And in turn, that's providing a boost to confidence and people are getting out there and spending. So you know, the news at a macro level is good on Australia, particularly when we compare Australia to what's happening offshore, particularly in the United States. We will keep an eye, though, on Victoria. But as I said, the bigger picture still looks quite good.
And I guess with that improved virus outlook, especially when we compare things to 3 months ago, we certainly have seen some improvements in consumer confidence.
Look, that's right. And in fact, it's quite surprising that consumer confidence has bounced back both so quickly and probably more interestingly to its pre-COVID level. So if we take a literal read on what the household sector is saying, and this is according to the Westpac Melbourne Institute Consumer Confidence Survey, then the household perception of the economic outlook is the same today that it was pre-COVID, which is quite extraordinary. But I think it really highlights just how quickly the news on the virus has changed and how those fears that households had, or we all had basically in April, have receded. And it's very important when thinking about confidence for the economic outlook because confident consumers are more likely to spend income while cautious consumers are more likely to save it. So if we see those intangibles like confidence moving in the right direction, then it means we're more likely to see an improvement in spending. And it's certainly an encouraging piece of information that it marries up with what our internal data on spending is telling us.
And it is. So certainly we're releasing that internal CBA card spend data every week. So that's spending on credit and debit card in the Australian economy. And certainly we have seen that spending momentum certainly shift higher since mid-April. You know, that was kind of the worst of the coronavirus lockdown measures. We saw a 20% fall in spend on those CBA credit and debit card data. And we certainly have seen some improved momentum since then, haven't we?
Look, that's exactly right, Belinda. Spending was always going to pick up from its low point. But what we didn't know is how fast it would pick up. And we didn't know to what extent consumers and households would get out there spending once restrictions were eased. And I think our data is quite encouraging. What it's telling us is that basically households aren't too concerned around getting the virus, and basically a handbrake on spending was the restrictions themselves. So as they're being eased, we've seen a material turnaround in spending, particularly in services from the low point in April. The rate of improvement has slowed a little bit in June, albeit that that gradual improvement has continued. But it does marry up with the consumer confidence story, and all of these things are, there's a relationship between all these things. But you know, certainly from where we were 4 to 6 weeks ago, the information that we're getting from our credit and debit cards is an encouraging signal.
One of the biggest surprises that we've seen in our data is the household income side. So we're tracking money flowing into CBA accounts, and that has certainly been stronger than I think what a lot of people were expecting, given the size of the recession. How is the income side looking at the moment?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, regular listeners to the podcast or regular readers of our research will already be aware of this dynamic because we've been talking about it and writing about it quite a bit. But basically, our data at CBA has enabled us to track the wages and salaries that are being paid into CBA bank accounts, as well as government benefits that are going into CBA bank accounts. And what our data has basically told us for several months now is that there's a positive income shock underway at the moment to the household sector because the big fiscal stimulus going to the household sector in the form of government benefit payments, particularly their job seeker and one-off payments to lower-income households, that has been bigger than the drop-off in wages and salaries, which has been supported by JobKeeper. And the net result has been that household income growth has actually stepped up. And that situation is pretty much locked in now until late September, October, when stimulus at the moment is due to come off. So when we're thinking about the economic outlook, certainly over the near term, one dynamic that we are very comfortable with is that household income is being very well supported by the government sector. In turn, that is supporting savings that are showing up in CBA bank accounts.
And I guess households may be using that extra income to save a little bit more, given the uncertainty over the continuation of some of those support payments. And on that, we do get the what we're calling the mini budget out on the 23rd of July. So we should hear some more details about what the government's planning on doing in either extending or tapering some of those support measures as well. I guess the other major part of the economy that we are very focused on is the labour market. We saw large job losses in April and May. We've seen a lift in the unemployment rate, albeit not such a big lift as to what some people were expecting. And I guess on the outlook for the labour market, we are very much watching the job seeker payments coming into CBA accounts. And what is that showing you? Because I know you have included that as one of the green shoots in your note.
Look, it is a green shoot. Again, relying on our internal data, we're able to track the number of CBA bank accounts that are receiving job seeker. And that's a really good real-time pulse on the labour market because if people are going off job seeker, then by definition they're going into employment. And there'll be a lag between when this happens and when it shows up in the official statistics because they're always lagging what's actually going on in the economy. And based on our data, the number of CBA bank accounts are receiving job seeker peaked in late May and has been falling through June. So what that means to us is that people are getting off job seeker, they're getting off unemployment benefits, and they're getting back into paid work. Now, that's the situation regarding the unemployment rate is not going to mirror that. The official unemployment rate will rise over coming months because a lot of people who lost their jobs and went on to job seeker weren't actually classified as unemployed by the ABS. Because to be classified as unemployed, you've got to be actively looking for work. So the reported level of unemployment in Australia right now is a bit over 7%. It's a little bit misleading. True unemployment's higher than that. True unemployment's already also falling. So we're going to rely on our internal data here around job seeker to inform us how quickly the labour market is tightening. But certainly in the first few weeks of June, it's a good sign there. And again, we would say it's a green shoot. The number of people who are on unemployment benefits is actually coming down.
And not last but not least is the housing market. So when the coronavirus epidemic really started, we had expected house prices to fall around 10% between March and September. That was kind of where we thought we were going to be in. Now, since then, the housing market's held up a little bit better than what we expected, and that 10% fall may be looking more like the downside scenario at the moment. What's the latest thinking on the housing market?
That's right. In fact, it's held up a lot better than we thought a few months ago. The housing market hasn't just surprised us. We probably had a consensus call looking for a 10% fall over a six-month period. But with each passing week, it looks less and less likely that that 10% fall will materialise. I mean, it is still early days, but according to CoreLogic, which is the industry benchmark for house price data, prices are only down a couple of percent over a three-month period, which is really, really surprising given everything else that's gone, that's happened in the economy. Auction clearance rates, which are a really good near-time high-frequency data point that captures sentiment, if you like, in the market. I mean, they plunged in April down to 35%, but rebounded very, very quickly in May. And the auction clearance rate over the weekend was around 65% nationally, which is consistent with prices holding up. There's obviously other dynamics at play, and we think that falling rents are still going to probably weigh on prices at the margin, as well as elevated unemployment. But it looks to us like the impact of very, very low mortgage rate is basically offsetting the other negative forces on house prices, and therefore they haven't fallen that much as a result. I mean, the fixed mortgage rates have come down very, very sharply. And just looking at our data, we're seeing quite a lift in refinancing, and that's people going out of the variable rate to the lower fixed rate. That frees up disposable income, which again has a positive impact on spending. But I think that interest rate story is proving to be very, very important on the housing market. When thinking about the economy and the economic outlook for spending and whatnot, we would say that what's happening in the housing market is a green shoot, because we were concerned that falling prices would weigh on the spending decisions of households via a negative wealth effect. But if that risk is no longer materializing, then we should get more spending than would otherwise be the case.
And I guess, when we kind of bring all of this together, where we think that the situation is not as bad as what we had expected in late March, that is really what we're saying here. Like, the outlook is still a deep recession in Q2. It will still take till early 2022 for the Australian economy to kind of catch up that shortfall. But it does mean we have revised our GDP, our economic growth figures. So where do they sit now?
Yeah, that's very much the case. So we're highlighting, again, what we would call green shoots, which is pieces of information that are hinting that things may not be as bad as initially feared. But there's no getting away from the fact that the Australian economy is going through a very, very tough period, the likes of which we haven't seen in our lifetime, basically. And GDP growth is still going to be very, very weak in the September quarter. I mean, we're expecting a fall around 6.25%, which is a massive contraction in economic activity, but it's just not quite as deep as we thought a few months ago. So we've ended up revising our GDP profile to reflect the new economic information that we've been getting, the very, very timely information we're getting particularly from our bank data. And we now think the economy will contract somewhere around 3.25% in 2020. So that compares with our previous forecast, which was a view that GDP would fall by around 4.25%, which is pretty similar to where the consensus is. So basically, we've got an above consensus call. Unfortunately, we're still looking at a big contraction in economic activity, but a few of those green shoots that we've highlighted mean that things aren't going to be quite as bad as we thought a few weeks ago. And I think we'll see that the improvement reflected in the Reserve Bank's the statement of monetary policy in August. They came out with a set of forecasts back in May that I'm pretty sure are going to be revised to imply that things aren't quite as bad as they thought either.
And certainly some of the comments coming out from Governor Lowe in his recent speeches has echoed that sentiment as well, that this current situation in the Australian economy is not as bad as was first feared back in March. Great to have your thoughts today, Gareth.
It's always good to chat, Belinda.
Now, Gareth published his report on the 25th of June, and it was titled Green shoots amidst the uncertainty, we revise up our GDP profile, and that research report can be found with all of our other research reports on combankresearch.com.au. Now, where CBA data is cited, this refers to the bank proprietary data. As the statistics take into account only the bank's data, it may not reflect all trends in the market. All customer data used or represented is anonymised and aggregated before analysis and is used and disclosed in accordance with the group's privacy policy statement.